The word of God has been chosen to be laid upon our hearts this morning. It's found recorded in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 11 to 14. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day, the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow students of the word, there's a saying that you maybe have heard, out of sight, out of mind. It means that when something happens and you don't see it later on, it's quickly forgotten. For example, news events happen today. Tomorrow, more news events happen. What happened yesterday is quickly forgotten. And that's why learning from history is so important. But remembering what you learn is even more important. Just remember that, so it's not out of mind. But even more internally important is remembering and learning from God's word, his story. So, how many of you remember the lesson of the prophet Amos? Amos was one of those obscure minor prophets who are kind of hard to find in the Old Testament. But even more important than knowing where it comes, it's after Joel, before Obadiah, is knowing what God says through Amos to each of us. God spoke through Amos to the northern kingdom of Israel. He told them there was going to become a famine, unlike any famine ever in the history of the world. Not a famine of potatoes or corn or barley or wheat or fruit or vegetables, but a famine of God's word. And history shows that this prophecy has come to pass not only at that time, Amos's time, but over the years, time and time and time again. The children of Israel at Amos's day had the word of God. They had the prophecies about the Messiah. They had faithful prophets like Elijah and Elisha proclaiming the word of God to them, but they rejected that. Instead, they followed the golden calves of Samaria and Dan, worshiped the god and goddesses of Beersheba. They put their confidence in their economic success, in their booming businesses, their powerful armies. But when God looked upon the northern kingdom of Israel, what did he see? He saw wretchedness, poverty, and weakness. The wretchedness of their hearts, and the spiritual poverty and weakness of their lives. They no longer knew the Lord Jehovah. They didn't remember the promises of the Messiah. They didn't believe that the Messiah, Jesus, who is to come, would be their only Redeemer. In chapter 2, the Lord turns his attention to this northern kingdom and says to them, I will not turn away my punishment from you because of their immoral, ungodly ways. Punishment would come. Of all the nations, Israel should have known better. All the other nations, they didn't have the word of God. They were steeped in idolatry. Israel had the word. They had the promises of the Messiah. They were God's chosen people. But God declares that their guilt had reached a full level. In fact, he said it's overflowing. His righteous punishment would come upon them because his word was no longer precious in their sight. 4 times the Lord said, I sent you disciplines to try to lead you to turn away. And every time the Lord said, yet you have not returned to me. So finally the Lord says, therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God. From sea to sea, from north to east, They're going to search, and they'll never be able to find the Word of God. 50 years after this message, the northern kingdom of Israel was carried away into captivity by the Assyrians, never to be heard from again. 750 years later, the Jewish people, as a whole, rejected Jesus, had him crucified, and 40 years after that, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Jewish people, as a nation as a whole, lost the Word of God. And to this day, it's much the same. Most of the Jewish people in the Jewish nation do not know Jesus Christ, reject the Word. And they're left with their traditions, their customs, their laws, their ordinances, which all lead to death and damnation. So the Word of God traveled on, went to Samaria, and then went to Asia Minor, to Rome, and then further to Europe. During the Reformation, the Word of God was spread throughout all of Germany and through much of Europe, so that the people had the Word of God just like they did in the Old Testament. Everybody could read the Word of God in their own language, Spanish, German, French. The Word of God was there. Today, you go to Europe, and you see that it's steeped in humanism. Most of the large churches and cathedrals are empty. They become museums and tourist attractions. What Martin Luther feared has happened. The gospel, like a passing shower, moved from Europe and moved on. And now there's a famine in Europe. So the Word moved to America. It spread across our country. Yet today we see people turn away from the truth of God's Word, listening to godless philosophies, human reason, rather than the Word of God. It's hard to find God's Word being proclaimed in its truth in the pulpits of today. Have we learned nothing from the past? Out of sight? Out of mind? Is there a famine of the Word in your future? We've been blessed with a feast of God's Word. Every day you come here, and at night as well, and have chapel, devotions around God's Word. Every Sunday, church services, Bible class. Do we appreciate it? Have we been feasting on it? Have we been feasting on the bread of life? Or instead have we been eating from the straw of materialism, the chaff of humanism, of our own wisdom? Have we been drinking from the crystal pure water of God's Word, or from the poisonous wells of work righteousness, the filth of our own sinfulness, sitting in the muddy holes of spiritual ignorance, or the quagmire of pornography, or wandering in a wasteland of living for the things of this world that are so exciting, but really don't mean very much? It's spiritual suicide to contaminate or to completely ignore God's Word. A famine of the truth of God's Word has already started in our country. Is the famine of God's Word completely soon to follow? Ask yourself, is the Word of God as precious to you as it was to your parents or to your grandparents? Out of sight, out of mind. May it never be in our lives. May we remember these lessons from the past. God's Word is our only source of spiritual life and truth. God the Father, out of love for us sinners, sent his Son into this world to be our substitute, to take our place, being placed under the law of God and kept every single commandment perfectly in thought, word, and deed. And then he allowed himself to be laid under God's wrath and justice, and God the Father forsook him on the cross, and he paid for our guilt and punishment by being damned for us. And he took his life back up again and rose from the dead for our justification. Our redemption, our salvation is complete. It's an accomplished fact, finished, all through Jesus. All this you have heard most of your life. You've learned. You've seen with eyes of faith through the Holy Spirit working in your hearts. May the Holy Spirit lead you to resolve today not to forget these truths, these lessons from the past, so that Christ, his cross, his empty tomb, is never out of sight. And then out of mind. And how can we make that a surety in our lives? By coming regularly and consistently to these chapels, and not just sitting there, but actually listening to what is being said. Coming consistently to church, Bible class. Having your own personal Bible devotions in your classroom or in your dormitory. By studying his word so well that you can know what to tell your malnourished friends who don't know Jesus and who are starving to death. The famine of God's word may still come upon our nation, it may come upon this world, but the Lord has promised that there always will be a remnant, his children, his little flock, that remain faithful and true. May we be preparing ourselves now through his word to be that remnant that remains faithful to Jesus and to his word. Preserve thy word in preaching, the truth that makes us whole, the mirror of thy glory, the power that saves the soul. Oh, may this living water, this dew of heavenly grace, sustain us while here living, until we see thy face. Amen. Hymn 264, verse 1.
Faith from faith.